Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flesh in the Pan, we're going to be like, whee! Hi, and welcome to another exhilarating, heart-stopping, brain-thumping episode of Flesh in the Pan.
Wow. Welcome back.
Yep. I'm Tom, this is Alex. We're going to be talking about Flash cartoons from way back in the before times.
That's what happens on this podcast. This is episode 40 now, so if you've listened to all 40 and not quite caught on to that yet... I don't know what to say. What to tell you.
Although, if this is your first episode, then welcome.
Welcome.
Make yourself comfortable. Here are some biscuits, if you want a biscuit.
What kind of biscuit? Do you want a bourbon?
Oh, a jammy dodger.
Oh, yeah. Those are the two best kinds of biscuits.
I like hobnobs.
Hobnobs are fine. I like biscuits with cream in the middle. Those are the best kinds.
Not just biscuits. All right. As always, you can find our website, as well as all of the cartoons we're going to talk about today, on the website, which I just mentioned is a website, and you can find the website by typing in the website address, flashinthepancast.com.
I really wanted you to just keep saying website. It's a website that's online on the internet. It's a website where you can find all the things that we did on the website.
Well, you know what else is online and on the internet?
Our website.
Yep. Where you can find a link to the cartoon we're about to talk about, and that cartoon is going to be Animator vs. Animation 2. It's really fun.
It is really good.
It's really cool.
I was saying to you before we started watching, I remember this one more than the first one. In fact, I may have seen this one first.
It's possible. I mean, this... Because the first Animator versus Animation, which we covered way back in episode 26 last year, if you remember that far back, I don't.
No.
I've slept since then.
Yep.
Was basically mostly confined to just the Flash animation program.
Yeah.
In this one, he breaks out into the desktop. And so you get to see all of these wonderful period-appropriate programs.
Yep.
And little characters from 2007.
No sign of MSN Instant Messenger.
You're right.
No,
I guess...
Just AIM.
I suppose New Guy, the animator, was fairly retro in his tastes.
Is AIM as a messenger, is it still a thing?
Nope, AIM got shut down late last year, I believe.
Oh,
same with Yahoo Messenger. Not that I knew anyone who used Yahoo Messenger for a long time.
No, I like primarily kept in contact with people on MSN.
Yep.
And then migrated to Skype, and then Skype to Discord.
So you never Trillioned?
I did have a Trillion, yes.
Yeah, where you could use AIM, Yahoo, AIM, and MSN, and
Yahoo,
even ICQ
MSN.
And so on.
Yeah, I did have one of those, yeah.
Gosh.
And I probably had an account for all of them, but mainly spoke to people for MSN.
Yeah. But in this one, the dark horse is the AIM messenger.
Yeah.
AOL Instant Messenger, the little yellow guy. Who was, like, let's be honest, an incredibly good little mascot.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Who holds his own pretty well in the fight. Really nice to see. And not just that, but, like, again, just the creativity in using all the different parts of the screen and using all the different characters. Early on, we see that the animator has a whole cache of, like, clip art weapons to use.
Including the Halo rocket launcher. It's funny that showed up right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, 2007, Halo was still pretty damn big.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a thing that people talk about frequently, I think, maybe. not as much, but yeah, it's still kind of in the consciousness of people that play games, I guess.
Yeah. So you wanna talk about the plot?
So it kind of starts similarly to the first one, where he like draws a stick figure, and then he's like trying to figure out like a name. He's like, oh, it's killer. No, it's victim.
No, it's the beast, all caps.
And then he's just like, oh, it's the chosen one.
Yeah, just like in Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Enter the Fist. He left with nuts! basically after that, the stick's like, yeah, okay, fuck you. And then starts immediately attacking the mouse pointer and basically just goes on a rampage while the animator tries to stop him, and he just utterly fucks up the poor guy's desktop.
Yep, it's really, really pleasing to see. Like there's a laser eye battle with the old Adobe Photoshop logo.
I forgot that it's been so long that I forgot that Adobe Photoshop and most Adobe programs used to have the little eye.
Yeah.
Makes sense now, they're just like soulless logos.
He destroys his documents, including a required essay.
He rips up his song list, which I'm absolutely not. I don't agree with that. I can't. I'm sorry, but you can't do that. At one point, a vast antivirus.
Yeah.
What version is it? Version
4.7.
A vast antivirus.
I think that's about when I started using Avast.
A vast antivirus, I think, I don't know if it still is the case, but I think at one point it might still do, but it was voiced by the same person that did like the onboard computer voice in Mass Effect 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was like one of the prime reasons why a friend of mine got it. He was like, oh, it's got the Mass Effect 2 voice. That's how you know it's good.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot to mention. Before he resorts to the antivirus, he logs onto AIM and tries to get help from his from his programmer friend.
He's like messaging, like, "What do I do?" And he's like, "Well, what level is he?" He's like, "I made him the chosen one." The guy's like, "Are you crazy?
That's suicide. That's what are you suicide. Doing?"
He's like, "It's okay. Here's what you do." Before I could tell him, like, the animation, like, picks up the
chat window, the chat destroys window, it,
uses it to kill the AIM mascot.
It's great,
which is an amazing power move.
Yeah. So the more I think about this and its predecessor, and I forget if I mentioned this last time because it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But like, I just get really strong feelings of about how I felt when I first watched Wreck-It Ralph.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's all of these familiar things that we kind of take for granted in nerd culture, if you like,
yeah,
being recontextualized and given personality.
Yeah, especially Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Oh yeah, well that's the whole internet.
Yeah, like they really did a great job of like kind of making you really think about like how these things operate.
Yeah,
especially in the second one where it's there's that bit where he goes up to the it's like the. The guy who does, like, the search results.
Oh, the search engine guy is amazing.
He keeps, like, completing his things before he can finish telling him what it actually is he wants to look for.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's really good. So that's our Flash in the Pan movie of the Fortnite recommendation. Wreck-It Ralph 2, it's not bad. It's
pretty good. I remember everyone was down on it because they had an advert where Ralph did a Fortnite dance or something, and it was like,
oh really? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was like an advert where he like flossed or something, and everyone's like, oh really? And I was like,
well, that was the style at the time.
It was though.
You pin an onion to your belt and you floss.
Yeah,
you floss wildly for
the
views.
Style at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is there to say about Animator versus Animation 2? I do like that a couple of times you see extra little options when the mouse right clicks on things.
Yeah.
You know, when the AIM guy dies, he can choose to send it to heaven or hell. You know, like with his little array of guns, he can choose them to fire or aim and fire.
Yes.
Just little things like that, which are quite sweet.
Overall, it's just, it's really good, it's really cool, it's very creative.
Yeah, what do you feel about the ending?
The ending feels like maybe a little bit abrupt, because it just kind of gets trapped.
It escalates and escalates, and then suddenly,
it's just like, we got him. And then he basically uses the stick figure like a glorified antivirus that gets rid of pop-ups.
Yeah.
Which is mean.
It's mean, but it kind of works. It's like the classic crime drama thing of, the only thing we can think of to catch this serial killer is this other serial killer.
Yeah, which never works. Rarely. Rarely works.
But yeah, animated versus animation, and obviously, we didn't mention it, but the actual animation is really smooth.
Oh yeah, the actual animation itself.
It's so well done. It's and the timing is so good.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it had music, but at the same time,
it doesn't need it. No.
I might be wrong, but I believe in later installments, because this isn't the last one.
No, it isn't.
I believe in later installments, they do some fucking around with music player stuff. Though I might be misremembering.
You said doo-doo.
Shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is one of the only two funny stories about George H.W. Bush.
There are funny stories about him?
Only two. First one is he was at a state dinner in, I think, 1990, and he threw up in the Japanese Prime Minister's lap. On camera.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, I remember being told. I remember reading about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one is a story that my aunt told me ages ago, which I've never forgot. Which was he was like out walking in the White House grounds with a journalist, uh-huh. And he stepped in some like dog shit, and he went, "Ah, shit! I stepped in some doo doo," which is about as interesting as that horrendous man ever got.
This is a complete tangent, but it's bizarre the way that some Americans treat swearing.
It really is, though.
A staggering amount of Americans just, like, refuse...
Don't cuss.
..to drop the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, there was a video going around, like, fairly recently on Twitter, and it was just, like, he was asking different people in America, like, "What's your favorite swear word?" And I was like, "Oh, frick," or "dang." Or darn it, is like...
Dagnabbit.
Those aren't real swears.
I mean, this is a culture where phrases like goddamn are censored. Where you can be watching TV at 2 in the morning and they still censor a lot of words, like bleep them out. Because American media companies assume that people are literal children.
I mean, they're not wrong.
No, Americans. Children.
I'm not saying all Americans are children.
American is a child with a gun.
And that's my stance on gun control.
Hi, I'm Henry Rollins.
This was secretly the politics episode all along. No, we tricked you.
It's coming. I promise it's coming. Anyway, we should talk a little bit about the person behind Anime Fan Animation, dude. You think it's time for some Flash?
I mean, the person behind Animated vs. Animation 2 is the same person who did the first one.
It is.
Who we already covered.
Yep.
So, if you look at the page, let's see, just some fairly basic stats that I pulled. Because,
ooh, stat time.
Yeah, because we already kind of covered New Guy. The animation, it was front-paged. It won Weekly User's Choice. The review crew pick, it was daily feature. And as of recording, it's been viewed a ginormous 3,349,827 times.
But that's just on Newgrounds.
Just Newgrounds. On YouTube, the original upload has got over 18 million views, and the HD upload has 17 million. So we're getting close to like the billions kind. No, not quite. No. Definitely getting close to like
50 mil?
Yeah, about 50 million.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
It's very impressive.
That's a very high number of views for something that was put out in, like, 2006.
Yeah.
That's about it, really, for anime versus animation 2.
Okay. There is one thing I found, which I mentioned to you earlier, which is that if you go to the creator Alan Becker's YouTube channel, he's still doing...
He's still doing it.
Animation versus stuff.
Yes.
He also does, like, Flash tutorials. He did an animation course. You can buy an animator versus animation card game.
Yeah, no, I think we actually covered that when we chatted about animator versus animation.
It's a
whole thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of assume that we will probably come back and take a look at some of this some point.
I imagine so. But first of all, it's time to get some comments, because the comments are always fun.
The comments are always fun, so...
You want to start us?
Yeah, so there was actually, like, a lot of comments where they were, like, accusing the person of, like, stealing this from... I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, I can see. Purple Puffball 888 said, "You stole this, idiot."
That was in 2018.
Yeah. That's, wow.
That's recent. I don't know. A lot of people seem to be under the impression they'd seen this already. I think maybe you just uploaded it to YouTube and put this up, like, later.
Perhaps.
But yeah, we got Mickey in 2007. He said, and I picked this up, comment out for a specific reason. He said, "Wow, I would pay to have a program where a little guy runs around on my screen, messes with my icons, and torches pop-ups."
I think I know why you highlighted this one.
Yeah, so today, as a tribute to Untitled Goose Game, somebody released a desktop plugin, which is a goose.
A horrible goose.
A horrible goose, which just messes with your stuff on your desktop. It tracks mud. It steals your mouse pointer. It drags pictures of geese onto the screen, and also little messages, and makes it very hard to play video games.
Yes.
So I thought it was kind of neat that, like, you know, here's the comment from over 10 years ago, and well, we finally got there. We got finally the little pop up that just fucks with your desktop.
Technology has caught up. Yeah, although, I mean, there were quite a few little desktop games you could do. Like, there was one where you just had various weapons that you could destroy parts of the screen with.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, desktop buddies were a thing, you know, since the late 90s.
Lest we forget about Bonzi Buddy, yeah.
Yeah, but also cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs, which
I
messed with extensively.
Really?
Yeah. I loved that shit.
Hmm.
Don't know why, but yeah, I really liked that for some reason.
Nice.
It was like one of the few PC games I had a really weird PC experience. Like, I had Heart of Darkness, which I've covered already extensively. Yep. We had Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Wait, not Myst 1, just Riven.
Just Riven.
Okay.
A lot of these we picked up at random. We didn't know what they were. The internet wasn't really a thing.
Well, no, but recommendations from people were also a thing.
Yeah, we just basically picked whatever looked cool, and most of the time it worked.
Did you just get let loose in the PC world with a blindfold on?
Well, it was more like my dad was like, "What do you think of this?" And I was like, "Yeah, it looks cool."
Okay.
What else? We had, like, a couple of, like, plane dogfighting games.
That makes sense.
And an F1, a Formula One game. And Barbie Horse Adventure.
Hey, Barbie Horse Adventure. We had Barbie Horse Adventure. That was very good. Although,
slaps.
Not as good as the Barbie Detective game where you're trying to solve a mystery in a theme park.
Absolutely not. You
got to chase the hooded figure across the rides.
Oh, we had one of the Magic School Bus games as well.
I had, like, two of them. They were great.
We had the space one, which I think we've had a discussion
about. I always wanted the space one.
You always wanted the space one. I had the space one.
I had the geology one and the human body one.
The space one has a god awful, like, 2D platforming section, which is nearly unplayable.
That sounds like a Magic School Bus game.
It's the Magic School Bus game.
Yep. Anyway, back to the comments. Caplight in 2019, just a few months ago, said, "How did you animate it like that?"
confused.
Well, Caplite, if you go to if you go to his YouTube channel, you can actually find...
He pretty shows you how he does it.
Yeah, and there's actually a link to my online course.
So it's actually very easy to find out how we animated it like that.
But thank you for asking.
What else we got? So, Silvermina, March 7th, 2013, said, pass. There's a few ellipses and then just,
I've no idea.
What the fuck does that mean?
It looks like they're trying to decline a noun, but it's not. Pass.
I just picked that out because I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Is that anything?
No.
No, it's not. Absolutely isn't. This is a result from Middle English.
No.
It's gibberish. It absolutely means absolutely nothing, and we have no idea how this person actually feels about the animation. And just
pass. And finally, Duffhead, on 9/9/09, yeah. September 9th, 2009, said the best. In my opinion, it's the best Flash movie ever. It was very interesting that a stick figure on your computer tried to take over your territory and destroy Windows XP. Every Flash submission I know is obviously made with Flash.
Do you think?
I know this didn't happen, but still, great. That's Duffhead illustrating the beautiful tension that comes with fiction.
Uh-huh.
I feel your pain on people not knowing what program you use. It's sad. It's actually pretty stupid. People! Flash games and videos are made with Flash. Right-click the video or game, and you see about Adobe Flash Player. Adobe bought Macromedia, so Macromedia versions of Flash are no longer sold. Thanks for entertaining me. And their rating is half a star.
Yeah! They left this huge review, and then they fucked up the rating.
Oh, Duffhead. You are so close!
He knows it's not real, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, the dramaturgy is not lost on Duffhead.
Yeah.
Well, that was Animated vs. Animation 2. What a delightful little experience.
It's good.
Yeah. We're going to go even further back in time.
What?
We're going to go back to 2001.
Oh, my goodness me.
To Albino Black Sheep.
Oh, wow.
And we are going to... We're going to enlighten ourselves. Okay. We're going to fulfill our lives with a little song about gonads and strife.
I've not seen that before.
I am amazed. It was a classic. This was requested by like 5 different people.
Oh my gosh, wow. I really missed out there, I guess.
Yeah, hey, 2001 was a hell of a time.
Yeah.
And this was popular like all through the mid-2000s.
Really?
Yeah, well, it was really big when it came out, and then it's one of those videos that got passed around online forums for like 3-4 solid years.
Yeah.
And it was like an early upload on YouTube that also got pretty big.
Yeah. Early YouTube adopter.
Oh, yeah.
All the way back in 2006.
Yeah, while doing research for this one, actually, if I can lift the veil a bit.
Uh-huh.
There were people talking about it on like the Ars Technica forum, you know, back in 2001.
Oh my god.
You know, and like the Straight Dope forums and all that kind of stuff.
I love Ars Technica user Forbidden Vampire.
Oh, yeah. Forbidden Vampire with a Y, registered February 21st, 2001.
Bless you. Bless you.
Yeah, it's great. And I really like it. It's just, it is an extremely simple music video. It's just a JPEG of a squirrel just like wiggling around.
Mm.
And you got the subtitles, which in the new version,
they seem to be cropped off.
Are badly cropped.
Yeah.
Because you actually have to enlarge the window to make them view properly. Where do we start? Like, tell you what, you're the musician.
Okay, so
let's talk about the song craft.
So this has got like what I put up on nearly immediately. This has got incredible like
Andrew Jackson Jihad vibes.
Well, I mean, I think part of that comes from like the fact that like this is not played that fast originally, mm-hmm. and then sped up, which kind of gives you the chipmunk voice effect.
Yes.
What it does have, it has the incredible like bonus track off an album energy.
It really does.
So like, classic examples: the Blood Song off of Black Parade.
Oh yeah.
All by myself off of Dookie.
Oh yeah. Blink-182 When You Fucked Grandpa.
Blink-182 is that one.
Guys. Actually, I remember they had three different versions of that album. Each one had a different stupid bonus track. Yeah.
I think there was one on the first Tenacious D album where he just like
that's half the tracks on the first Tenacious
D
album.
Yeah, but like there's specifically one where it's just like they obviously hadn't actually written a song.
Yeah.
He just like picks up a guitar and starts singing about how it's time for his breakfast, time for some cheese.
Yep.
that's what this reminds me
well,
of.
Well, like, but that stuff is going to be contemporary to this because this is 2001.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Like the kind of stupid garage band. Like lo-fi punk aesthetic,
it's
mainstream.
Yeah,
and so everyone and their mum and their squirrel is trying it.
We say that because there's a squirrel in the video.
That's why, yes.
Just, why is that just supposed to like represent the singer? Because
yes,
kind of small woodland creature equals squeaky voice, kind of.
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Actually, I'm curious now whether this came before or after Foamy.
I
believe this is post Foamy, and I don't like saying that phrase.
I don't like hearing that phrase. I was actually going to make a joke like, "Oh, is this what Foamy does in his off time?" Like,
let me just make sure.
Ah, this came first.
This came before Foamy. So, interesting.
Gotcha, Ill Will Press.
Take that,
fucking
Jonathan.
Yeah, he rips off Strife.
I don't know. I would be surprised if somewhere on the internet there is not a video of, like, Foamy murdering the Going Out to the Strife squirrel.
Or at least, like, a...
Because that was the dumb thing. Yeah, you know what? I hope they'd be friends.
Not likely.
No, not likely, because while Foamy is... is just a seething ball of hatred.
Yeah.
This squirrel is just like really chill about everything.
Kind of.
Not
yeah.
just chill, but really excited about everything.
I can't find like a descriptor for what kind of energy the squirrel has. It's like he's got a lot of energy for the guitar playing and the lyrics, but
yeah.
It's like he's singing about Gonads
and Strife
and is he really into those two concepts as a thing? And if he is, what kind of angle do we approach that from?
Well, I mean, he says if you're a kid and you don't have drugs yet,
yes.
but you want, yeah, you know, but you need something to uplift you. You need something to energize you. If you want to go wee, but you don't have drugs yet, then you just hold on to your gonads and Strife.
What is that? Mean? Does it mean
discover anything? Masturbation?
I see. See that's kind of what I was trying to say without saying it. Is it like?
We're rated explicit on Apple Podcasts. You don't have to.
Don't do drugs.
Just jerk
off instead.
Until you have drugs available to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. Do both at once. Go fucking hog wild.
Yeah. See, but like the energy reminds me a lot of Gurr from Invader Zim.
I actually kind of thought that's what it was at the beginning. When it started off with the wee and like a really high pitched voice, I was like, is that Gurr from Invader Zim?
Yeah, I know. It's that very kind of early aughts sort of ADHD cartoon thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is where just the... How do I put it? Where just this manic hyperactivity, which isn't, by the way, the lived experience of ADHD.
No.
But this is the popular consciousness kind of, you know, like hyperactive child full of sugar kind of thing. And
yes.
And this is... The squirrel embodies that pretty well, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say if there's any kind of energy the squirrel gives off, it's definitely a small child who's had, like, way too many fucking sweets.
Yeah. Which is also pretty similar to the energy of, like, a lo-fi garage band bashing out a stupid song about gonads.
One too many curly whirlies.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good name for a band.
That is a good name for a band, yeah. Keep that one in the back pocket. Just in case I want to rebrand at any point.
Just in case, yeah. But yeah, the animation isn't really existent.
No.
It's just a little slideshow.
The squirrel bounces up and down. That's about the extent of the animation.
Yep, yep. I was surprised because... just because it's a Flash animation and because of the Flash animations that we have seen and that we remember. Because right at the end, he talks about seeing a squirrel being hit by a van. Yeah, after he sings about gonads in the lightning and the rain, he says he saw a squirrel run across the street, get hit by a truck, and he's like, "Wee!" And I was surprised that didn't actually happen on screen, because it's about a squirrel being hit by a truck. And that would not have been too difficult to animate.
Probably not.
And violence is the punchline, is the bread and butter of a lot of stuff that we
talk about. Yeah, especially in the early aughts.
So I don't know whether to be disappointed or to admire the restraint.
My gut feeling tells me that at the point, because it's right at the end of the video, at that point, maybe the thought crossed the animator's mind. Should I animate a truck running into the squirrel and then it like flies across the screen?
And going, wee!
And going, wee. But then he's like, nah, fuck it. I'm done with the video now. It's done.
Okay.
I'm hitting upload.
Fair enough. I mean, the official title of this song is Wee.
Parentheses going as a
joke. Yeah, because otherwise you'd be unable to find it.
Yeah.
And actually, a couple of the comments did mention how they couldn't find it because they didn't know how many E's were in Wee. And speaking of the animator and the song itself,
yes.
Do you want to learn a bit more in the Flash?
Yeah.
So, Gonads and Strife was uploaded in 2001 by someone by the name of Three Brain.
Oh, okay.
Who also called themselves Albert the Squirrel on Albino Black Sheep.
Okay.
It also did get uploaded to YouTube eventually, but... not by the same person, I don't believe.
Okay.
In fact, this was, as far as I can tell, this wasn't uploaded to Newgrounds, even though a lot of Three Brain's other later Flash animations would be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Gonads and Strife itself, as I mentioned earlier, was really popular. It was just one of those videos that you sent to friends, and you were like, haha, check this out. And then they'd be like, oh my god, that's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Because at the time, it was.
It was, yeah. Yeah. We were only, like, 11, 12.
Yeah, so, and I actually had a lot of fun just, like, looking through old forum threads about this.
Hell yeah.
You know, like Rat Stomper on Ars Technica saying, Jeebus, who made that terrible thing with the squirrel saying, we... Stan did, Billy. Stan, the very bad man from heck. I'm going to go cry now. That's a good idea, Billy. Evan.
What?
That's just how people spoke on forums back in the day.
I'm not surprised that someone called Rat Stomper is not a fan of the squirrel singing. Obviously, distaste for rodents.
I know, right? But yeah, so I had a look at Three Brain's old website, which was a WordPress site which was updated pretty regularly until about 2009.
Mm-hmm.
The Wayback Machine allows us to have a look at it. And there were a lot of...
oh my god, what?
A lot of animations, a lot of really stupid drawings.
Can you just scroll this up?
Yep.
It says Three Bra now.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome Chartsum Ebra.
yeah.
It's cropped up, so it just says, three brain, it just says three bra.
I'm sure that was on purpose.
You think?
Well, yes, because on the particular snapshot of the site I found, one of the first things you see is a cartoon drawing of, like, a balding man with a truly tremendous penis.
Yeah, like that, so... don't even know where to start with that one.
No.
Like, it's not even, like, in his groin region anymore. It's, like, growing out of his stomach.
This isn't really the venue that I would critique people's penis drawing, but it's not a very good one.
Yeah, it's not.
He also sold two albums of his music, including... Uh-huh. Whee!
Yeah. What's the other one called?
The other one is called Fetus Trackstar.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I wanted you to read us the album descriptions.
Okay.
So this is for Whee!
The first one. It's our first album, and it rocks like fucking Def Biscuit. I played it for my mom's, and she was like, ships within 24 hours.
Yep. And Fetus Trackstar.
This is our newest album, and it's so insane. I was on LSD when I made some of the songs, but I won't say which ones.
It's so fucking childish, but also, like, it's just it's funny.
Did he actually drop acid to write some of the songs? Like, did you really?
Yeah, and you can also find the About Me. This is the latest version of the site I could find from 2011. And on the About Me page, he says, "What's up? Long time no pee, but uh-huh. I'm back. A new cartoon every day, come hell or high water. Sometimes the cartoon will be awesome, as well other times I'll take a dump in your eyes. Most of them is gonna be song cartoons, because I have a pretty singing voice, smiley face. So check in, cause you never know us, when it's gonna be a new Fling Fling or Jimmy P, or some stupid shit about salad. Or awesome, that is. You should buy my albums and shirts, because then people will laugh at you and make friends and or have sex with you." So, like,
maybe some of that's true.
So the Gurnads and Strife energy, like, really does carry on into the voice of the website.
That was just this person's, like, deal.
Yeah.
This was just what they were like as a person.
I know, right? At one point, before going offline for good, someone hacked the website, but only to add the legend, "Hacked by Shadow Name."
God, I fucking love the old internet so fucking much.
There are a couple more things which I found out about through a cursory search, which is that Gurnads and Strife was not only the name of a now dead internet forum, which I wasn't able to find a mirror of, but also the name of a bike club in Nevada who would do, like, charity bike rides all the way up to, like, 2013. The Gonads and Strife Bicycle Club.
Is it related to the song, or is it just because riding a bicycle is particularly tasking on that part of some people's anatomy?
I honestly don't know, because I could not find any... cross-pollination between the three brain stuff talking about the bike club or vice versa.
It could be maybe the person who set up the club saw the cartoon.
It's very possible.
And then went, "That would be good because biking is bad for your balls."
I mean, I don't know if that's why. I mean, they say that their club doctrine is, quote, "changing the world one bike at a time," which is, like, genuinely noble and nice.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like they benefited the North Nevada Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Committee to Aid Abused Women, the Northern Nevada Children's Cancer Foundation. Like, genuinely nice stuff.
Those are all really good causes.
Yeah, and inspired, at least in part, by this stupid little cartoon about a squirrel.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to finish by mentioning, so on the little About Me page, you might have noticed a name, Jimmy P.,
yes, I did notice that.
So Jimmy P is a character that Three Brain had been using since the early 2000s as a sort of, like, ridiculous, awful talk show host.
Right.
That he then revisited years later in 2017.
What?
To be a daily satire flash cartoon with Jimmy P as the host.
We're going to go over some of this at some point.
I believe we are, yeah.
Yeah, what? Yeah. Those are 2018 uploads.
Yep, the last one was in May of 2018. And Three Brains Twitter is basically nothing but the automated upload messages from that. Because they're all on his YouTube as well.
Huh.
Not only are they all on his YouTube, but you know what? The only thing I couldn't find on his YouTube is?
Grown-ups and Strife?
Anything.
What?
The YouTube page appears to have just been scrubbed of everything. And he has not been online, as far as I can tell, since last year.
Oh.
It's weird.
I hope he's okay.
I hope so too.
He's okay.
Yeah. And on one particular Jimmy P cartoon called Good Morning Shut Up with Jimmy P.
Uh-huh.
From 2017, the only comment is our old pal Ericho, which is wow.
He really did just say, I'm gonna review everything.
Everything.
And did it.
I know. Ericho is our white whale, Alex.
One day we're gonna find out who he is.
So you want to look at some comments?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah. That's the story of Gonads and Strife.
Yeah.
And its creator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of these are from albinoblacksheep.com. Some of them are from YouTube. I'm going to start with Satin Bruises, and like the font's all weird and cool looking.
Yes.
This is from 2 days ago. So this is from January of 2020, and they simply said the death of Flash was the death of our generation entirely.
That's deep, man. That's deep.
Damn. Fuck.
He's right, though.
Anyway, you want to do the next
one? So we got Stan the Man.
Stan the Man!
11 years ago. WTF are Gonads and Strife. Sounds like donuts getting knifed. What a disturbing thought.
Yeah.
What sounds like donuts getting knifed?
Well, it rhymes.
Oh.
Gonads and Strife, donuts get knifed.
Not quite.
Stan, you're not really the man.
Sorry,
gonna have to take that title away from you.
Yeah, moving on.
Stan the Child.
Only a child would make a comment that bad.
Saltine, 5 years ago, said, saw this in elementary, now in college, and I just found out what Strife meant. So I thought...
It took him all that time.
So I thought, hey, that video I saw a long time ago doesn't really make sense. So now after seeing it again, I still don't get it. And there was a reply. Jay replied to Saltine, saying... Same here. Saw this in fourth grade before YouTube, lolol. This is how we burned computer lab time. I was in biology last semester, college, and gonads were mentioned. This is as came to mind. And there were a lot of people in the comments saying, hey, I've been doing biology, and they used the word gonads, and this is all I could think of.
Yeah.
A couple more.
To Jesse.
Jesse!
10 years ago. OMG, I thought about this while I was smoking a bowl today. That seems appropriate.
You want to take another take on that?
Okay. OMG, I thought about this while I was smoking a bowl today.
Nice.
I remember this was the first video I ever watched on the internet, and my mom showed it to me. R.I.P.
Oh, goodness.
Oh. I remember that day. When I was 8 and it was on Funny Junk, and now I'm 17 and it's still funny. And I am proud to say that I am in 7th grade. In 7th grade, I got suspended from school for watching this in Computer Lab XD. Ha ha ha.
So that was...
That comment's a real fucking roller coaster.
It really is, yeah. So that's Jesse, who is now 27.
Jesus.
Godspeed, Jesse.
I'm sorry about your mother.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh. I know, right?
Jesus.
And finally, Vero-chan, 85, 13 years ago, so this would have been 2007 or 2006.
Yeah.
Said, rotful lumfowl. which for the uninitiated stands for roll on the floor laughing my fucking ass off.
That's what it means, yeah.
XDDDDDDD. That was the most funniest thing I've ever seen. Whee! Lol.
Lol. I'm sorry, I'm still recovering from Jesse's comment there. That was just dropped right in the middle of it. My mum died. Sorry.
It's fucking out there, isn't it?
That would be like if you were reading a book and right in the middle it just wrote an obit for one of her dead relatives. Like,
I mean, there is...
Wait, has this actually happened?
Not specifically that, but I do remember when I was doing my PhD, there was one book about game design.
Okay.
Where the author, as an aside, gave a little shout out to their I assume girlfriend, but like using some very intimate language. Yeah. I mean it kind of added to the fun of the book.
Yes.
But it was like, huh, okay.
Okay. You really want everyone to know about this.
Clearly. So, we are now going to move on to... Hey, what's that? You folks, you lovely listeners, sent in some emails for us.
Wow, thank you.
That's really nice of you.
Nice.
Thank you. That's
it's
so
not
thoughtful.
Like we ask at the end of every single episode for you to do
it's
that.
It's not like we
anything.
Beg you for engagement.
Please. Thank you, though.
Thank you, yeah. So, first of all, I have an email that I managed to recover. From ages ago, from Robert, from Rob/Jürgen,
uh-huh.
Who was commenting on our Foamy special from way back when.
Yeah.
And the title is Gross Neurotically Yours Joke. And Rob says, I haven't thought about Foamy in years. I remember some of my friends in college liked him for a while. Amityville Toaster is the only one I ever thought was funny. Somehow it doesn't surprise me his rants turned into alt-right manifestos. Nothing matters and I hate everything and nihilism tends to slide into that category pretty easily. Shame he didn't become an alt-right mascot. If he had, maybe Pepe the Frog would still be usable. I wanted to comment on something you didn't mention, which is at the end of the change of face video, where the pizza guy hurls pizza at Jermaine, and it lands on her exposed breasts in a way that clearly is meant to look like a cum shot. I remember them doing that in a different Foamy video, and I have a feeling it happened a lot. Any chance to sexualize a woman, right? Well, I think...
I mean, I feel like...
I think
like,
you're right, Rob?
Yeah, maybe the reason that we didn't mention it is because of, like...
At that point, we were just exhausted.
All the other, like... like... some of it, like, just blatant and overt sexual imagery is just like, we don't even have to bring that up.
No.
Like, it's quite obviously this guy is, like, horny out of his fucking mind. And, like, yeah. For some reason, this is his only outlet.
Goodness knows.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. It's not like we didn't miss it. We saw it, we just didn't. Comment on it.
Thank you, though, Rob.
Thank you.
Like, we do appreciate that. Oh, dear. So, last episode, we asked you folks, we had our lovely friend Miko on.
We did.
And he told us a story about his time on the VG Cats forums back in the day.
Was yanked out from underneath them by Scott Ramsey Mayer himself.
Which was beautiful. You should go back and listen to that if you haven't already. But we asked you to write in and tell us some stories of your old internet community days. And we got a bunch. Let's see how many we can fit in. So, we're going to start with ARP. ARP, who said, my first forum I ever joined was run by my best friend, and it was for a webcomic that died within half a year, but the forum existed for like 5 years. It was a weird little place that eventually ended when the girlfriend of the webcomic's author and artist gave her friend admin powers somehow, and the friend sold it to a porn site. I was there when it all went down because it was late and my car was stalled and I needed a jump, so I had to wait while my friend tried to recover all of it.
Good lord.
That's wild!
Wow!
hey, you want to be an admin on our forum? Yeah, sure. I'm going to sell it to a porn site.
Sorry, bye.
That's...
I'm just cashing in my check. Christ.
That's wild. Okay. Thank you, ARP. So, Jasmine wrote in. Hi, Jazz.
Hello, hi. Jazz. Hi.
Saying, hey, guys, I have a bit of a forum story. So, way, way back when, I used to be into Perfect Dark and Digimon, so I looked up a forum. I ended up on what would later be renamed the Death Star forums, which was originally named after a background NPC from GoldenEye's expanded list of multiplayer skins, the Terrorist. So it became Death Star after 2001. Because otherwise, yeah. you don't want to be on the Terrorist forums.
God, if only it was so easy. We got him, boys! Terrorist.com!
I knew I should have used a VPN! Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN.
Hey, NordVPN, please give us money.
That would be nice.
Yeah, thank you, Jazz. Let's see. Yes, I want you to read this one. Because
okay.
This is one that I've been excited for you to read, because it's pretty great.
Okay, so this is from...
This is from Claire.
Yeah, okay. So this is a hey there, Panzanos. Oh, thank you very much for that one. I have a wild and crazy tale of fan community / forum adventures. Do feel free to skim and cut down as much as you want. Back in the before times, GameFAQs boards for games would often have communities spawning them, with topics starting away from advice and theories about the game to more open topics. The one I spent most of my time in was the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door board.
Represent!
Specifically a topic that was repeatedly remade when the 500 post limit was reached.
Yep.
An RP thread called the X-Tor Moonbase. I love where this is going.
Hey, forum RP was... Forum roleplay was a wonderful place.
Bring it back. In this thread, we had characters who were ex-nauts of various rank going on adventures in the base or on Earth, getting up to various hijinks.
Yeah, ex-nauts are the bad.
They are the like the kind of the generic MIDI minions.
Yeah, they're the henchmen.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. There was, however, a problem. The boards in those days are subject to what were named hurricanes, where the GameFAQs mods would mass clear boards of all topics not directly about the game in question at their own discretion, and the Moonbase was hit by these multiple times. Because of that, we eventually created an Envision-free board for the Moonbase, which I believe is still up. Though a couple of years in, with most of the members gone, basically everything was wiped in a bit of chaos. It was a wild amount of dedication to this one game and the silly RP we built around it, but it was it always has a special place in my heart for one reason. My character in it, all those years ago when I was like 13 or 14, most at one point got magically turned into a girl, started that way and changed their name to Claire, which, as my sign-off here in just a moment will reveal, is what I chose as my name when I realised I was trans. Thanks for reading, and thanks for the great podcast, Claire. Wow.
Holy shit, right?
What a journey. Everybody figures it out in a different and different way, and wow, what a way to figure that out. That's awesome.
Paper Mario turned you trans.
It's probably not the only person to have done that. I mean,
no,
Mario Thousand Year Door has got, like...
A natural trans
the
character?
The only and, like, most popular, like, trans character in Mario canon, Vivian.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, Vivian's great. Bats.
Vivian for Smash.
Yeah. Great Joe, our frenemy, has written in.
Hi, Joe.
How are we doing for time? Yeah, it's fine. We can do the other two.
Yeah.
Great Joe has written in with a forum story, and the forum story is this. Hi there. So back in the early noughties, I read Bob and George. Yes!
Yes!
And I wondered how I could make my own of those sprite comics, and there was a guide right there. Did you know that if you right-click with the eraser, it'll only erase a color of your choosing? I did know that, actually.
I did know that, yeah.
Anyway, they linked to this ginormous sprite repository just for Mega Man sprites. They even have sheets from the Wonder Swan, Rockman, and Forte game. It was that extensive. Anyway, there was a forum attached. The same forum was really milquetoast, but I do remember seeing Egoraptor posting a Flash cartoon test involving him doing impressions of Cloud and Barrett. I don't think he'd be proud of that Barrett impression now.
I was going
to
say.
But the animation was decent. Pretty close to what we'd eventually see in the first Metal Gear also.
Ah.
And as we all know, he's improved on many fronts since that time. I think we all have, actually.
Yes,
your
we
friend
have.
And me, Great Joe. Thank you, Great Joe.
That's
a nice
interesting.
Little...
So it was a little animation like pre Metal Gear Awesome that he made.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then he went on to it. That's really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. And finally, Baxter, friend of the show, Baxter, said early on. Actually, no. I want you to take this because the punchline.
Okay, so early on, when I was still a very young kid, my dad had gotten the family a computer. This was in the first days, this was in the days of Prodigy Internet. Me and my mom got online on the family computer and went to Nickelodeon.com.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. They had pages for each cartoon where you could talk about what you thought of them. We clicked on the Rugrats page and the first comment was, "Dumbass bitch." And that has pretty much set the precedent for what I've expected from the internet.
Thank you, Bax. Thanks, Baxter. Dumbass bitch.
Brilliant. Thank you ever so much for that.
But yeah, thank you very much for your emails. You know what? I want to keep this one going. I want you folks to write in with more amazing, wonderful, strange, delightful, worrying stories from your old internet community days, because these have been great, and I know that you'll have like way more in here.
Have you got any?
So I have a lot that I remember only vaguely, because I managed to avoid being part of a lot of drama. There was one forum I was part of where there was like a 6-month debate in the moderation forum about whether it was okay for one admin to call people the F slur because his mums were both lesbians.
Holy shit.
Like pages upon pages of heated debate. Yeah, what about you? Give us a story. Tell us a story, Alex.
Forum stuff? I don't have a great deal of. I did set up a forum for myself and my friends to use around when I was making fucking Halo Machinima.
Nice.
It was literally me and the people involved with like the ill-fated project that I started, made 3 episodes of, and like never finished. But like that's where I remember doing a lot of like the haha lol random like monkey cheese kind of funny jokes, and like the forum doesn't exist anymore, so don't ask me what it's called. With, like, so, the only, like, notable story thing, kind of similar to, like, Miko's thing, where it's like, oh, I, like, shared a web posting space with the guy who made the Crab Battle cartoon.
Yeah.
So, my interesting story thing didn't happen online. It happened IRL.
Oh, yeah!
All the way back in, I'm gonna say 2004.
So you were what, 14,
15? 15. I was probably closer to 14. I just did like acting class for fun. And I made friends with, another person there whose name was Harry. And Harry went on to be, pretty big YouTuber these days by name of H Bomber Guy.
Yeah.
So I did, back when I was like 14, do like improv comedy with H Bomber Guy.
So you can be credited with discovering him and kind of training him for greatness.
Yes, totally. That was me. You're welcome.
You're welcome, internet.
Yes, you're all very welcome. Yeah, so that's my interesting internet, not internet story.
Well, you went outside of the criteria
I
for
did.
That one.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's like the only interesting story I have.
I mean, I have one more, which... So I don't remember the specifics of it because I've only just remembered that it existed. Uh-huh. But it was on Tumblr. This was about 7 years ago, maybe a bit less.
Okay.
And there was a girl who did like artwork using bones and taxidermy and stuff. Turns out that she was using human bones.
Oh no.
Which...
Oh no, I think I've heard of this!
Which had washed downstream from a, I believe, a Native American gravesite after flooding. So she was literally using human bones for, like, her Etsy page or something like that. And that is beyond.
She is actually cursed. Like, her household is actually cursed.
I mean,
She spread the curse around. She sold human bones.
Yeah. Hey, Flashketeers. We've had a lot of fun on this podcast, but it's time to get serious. Don't sell human bones to people, especially if you don't know where they're from.
Don't sell bones to people.
Goodness sake.
Holy shit.
And with that, I think it might be time to wrap up.
It might be.
But yeah, please email in with more wonderful internet stories and any other comments, questions, queries, I don't know, like hairstyling tips to flashinthepancast@gmail.com and you might get your email read out on the show. Mum, come listen. Mum.
They read my email.
I'm on the podcast, Mum.
Yay.
So you can email into flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
Yes. And you can find both of us online.
You can, yeah.
We're both cursed with being terminally online in our early years, and it's definitely not done any damage to either of us.
No, not at all.
You're
on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. It's Twitter.
More's the pity.
More's the pity. Twitter.com/DEX01. I've made some pretty good tweets recently, I think.
Sure, let's go with that.
I tweeted about how I saw advertisement for the Sonic movie on the side of a bus and nearly had to pinch myself to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
We live in strange times.
It's a strange world we live in. Also, I have
music. Yeah.
alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. You can find all a bunch of stuff. I record some stuff I recorded, like released late last year, my album for August 2019. I had preceding albums 2018, 2017, Apple Music if you search for Alexander Valentine, Spotify if you search for Alexander Valentine. I'm there on both of those places. Hooray. I have studio time booked with my band, and we're going to the studio in March, and I'm really fucking excited to record it.
Hooray.
And listen to it and then share it with everyone. It's gonna be great.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude PRKNS. You can also find my new extremely stupid Twitter page, which is a lot of extremely factual declaration. Let me try that again. You can also find my new Twitter page, which is True Music Facts 2. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the number 2. Which is just fun facts about famous musicians, old and new.
I have a question.
Yep.
Was True Music Facts 1 already taken?
Yes.
I thought you just added the 2 on for like...
No, I wish. Anyway, True Music Facts 2, where you can learn things such as Bono is rarely seen in public without sunglasses. These sunglasses are specially engineered to help him control the energy beams that emit from his eyes at all times.
Oh, like Cyclops.
Yes, yeah. Or, for instance, you could learn that Joan Jett is capable of reaching subsonic speeds, but only with fewer than 15 passengers aboard.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. There's not a lot of room back there.
So, that's True Music Facts 2, and you can find us on Twitter at @FlashITPancast. That's Flash It Pancast. You can find our website, as always, at flashinthepancast.com. Yeah. You should subscribe and like and review us. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Podcatcher of your choice. You can, you know, that's the best way to become a Flashketeer.
That is the best way.
And you want to tell all your friends you're a Flashketeer, don't you?
You want to tell them and then explain what that means and then make them listen to the podcast.
That's what we hope for. That's, you know, honestly, if you know people who you think might enjoy us, then please tell us, tell them about the podcast. We're always happy to have new listeners, new writers in.
Yeah.
It's just nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, you want to be nice, don't you? And thank you once again to our delightful host, Alicia Goranson. You can find her work, writing, game dev, and all that gubbins, at alicia-goranson.com, including the rather delightful little game called Don't Boop My Booper, where you are combating an onslaught of alien otters by booping their noses. It's good. So, until next time, I have been Tom.
I have been Alex.
And remember, Paz, Poz, Pez.
Have a great flash.